Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy. We're in the first chapter, beginning in verse 13 today. We're in this series, preaching through the book of 2 Timothy here at the end of the year. So you be reading through these chapters of 2 Timothy as we work toward January 1. John, thank you. Great music this morning. I shared with them. I was kind of singing along on that song in the early service, and they jumped into the tune of I'll Fly Away and twice in there, and I started singing the wrong words. And grateful to God for the music today. You know, I sat here while you were singing, and I just looked back, and I thought, of these folks who are standing here, I remember days when God would move people off in my years here, and you think, man, we won't ever replace them. Well, God knows. And He just drops back into church what you need, who you need. Some of them you raise up right out of your own ministry. And so never doubt the Lord about His church. He's got a way and a work going on in His church. You trust Him and be found faithful. This morning, a message entitled Anchors in the Storm. Anchors in the Storm. Paul is writing to young Timothy. You must understand the context of this book to understand the message of the writing. Paul is in jail. Now, friend, the culture around the church often displays the spirit of Antichrist. And we today have the church in a culture that has the spirit of Antichrist. You know, part of the problem in our culture today is the church in the last generation just lost its guts. We're just backed up. We say we're going to be sweet and love everybody. Well, I'm for being sweet and for showing love, but I'm telling you, when sin comes against you and gets in your face and up your nose, you better deal with it. So you've got to be the people of God. Paul's in jail. Now, don't miss this. He's in jail in Rome. This is his second time to be in jail in Rome. The first time was kind of an easy trip. This time he's going to sever his head and he's going to die. We're somewhere in around 65, getting close to 66 A.D. Nero is the emperor. He served as emperor from 54 to 68. The Roman Senate is ruling. You know, the Roman Senate was not elected. The Roman Senate was appointed. They had as few as 300. Sometimes it would rise to 900 members of that Senate. They were owners of huge plots of land throughout the Roman Empire. They ruled with the emperor. But Nero was the godless ruler. He killed his own mother. He killed his second wife. He set his own city ablaze. Tried to blame it on followers of Christ. Christian persecution was rising on every hand. Timothy is the pastor in Ephesus. Young Timothy sees Paul in jail, knows he's going to die. He has a death sentence, and Timothy becomes timid. He doesn't quit, but he gets a little soft. He starts backing up, and Paul exhorts the young preacher, "Don't be ashamed, son. Bear the name. Stand the test. Go to the death if need be. But don't quit now." And so he writes to young Timothy to exhort him. And we pick up the text today in his exhortation. There are three exhortations in this text that I see. In 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 13, you follow along as I read now from the pen of the apostle to the young preacher, to the church at Olive. "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. For you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phrygilus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Paul exhorts the young preacher with some actions to take. Rather than getting soft and backing up, he implores Timothy, don't be ashamed, step up, be God's man. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind of self-discipline. Don't fear, Timothy. And he exhorts him in three ways. Number one, Paul says to young Timothy, retain the Scriptures. Retain the Scriptures. Notice it in verse 13. Timothy, retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. You heard these things from me. He is the writer of most of the New Testament. He is giving these words. He's writing. They will later be canonized. We have them in front of us called the Bible just now. And he's saying to Timothy, retain the standard. The word there is pattern. There is a pattern that he gives. He said, Timothy, live like this. Now, you've got your finger there in the first chapter. Turn to the right to the third chapter of 2 Timothy. We'll look at this in a few weeks, but look at it, what he says in 1 Timothy 3:14. You, however, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the Bible, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All graphe, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that you, the man of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Timothy, don't leave the Bible. Retain the Scriptures. Now go the other way to 1 Timothy and notice what he said in his first letter to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, he writes about this standard, about this pattern. Again, it is a theme with Paul in verse 8 of the first chapter. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, he says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers. You think Nero enjoyed reading that verse? For murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to, there's the word, pattern, sound teaching. The reason the Word of God there is it gives a standard. It gives a pattern. This standard, which started by law in Exodus 20 and comes to grace in Jesus Christ, given to us in the inerrant, holy Word of God, it is our standard, and you dare not cast dispersion on it. Take your Bible, read it. Take your Bible, hear it preached. Take your Bible, dear friend, Olive member, obey it. Amen. When you find the truth of the Word of God, obey the Word of God. A member of this church that will come every Sunday but will not crack this book and read it needs to run to this altar and repent and find you a Bible and become a Bible reader week by week, day by day. In my reading through Scripture, I'm in 1 and 2 Chronicles. Now, if you don't think you need faith, you come to 1 and 2 Chronicles. There's a bunch of names in there you can't pronounce, and I can't either. It's list after list after list. But in the middle of all of that, God sprinkles diamonds all along the way. I read this week, David had the curse of God on him because he took a census. He numbered. He told Joab, said, number the people. See how many people we have in all of Israel. And Joab said, don't do that. He said, yes. God judged him for it. What was the problem? Just counting. David started trusting the number of Jews rather than the God of heaven. He thought, if my army can be this large, dear friend, he had never won. God taught him when he was a little boy, when he killed the first giant. It's by the name of the Lord, not the number of stones. But he had fought. That's why God's doing the work in the church today. We don't have near as many people coming, sitting in the room. We got a lot more watching online in different places. But people always ask me, how many you got? How many you got? How many's coming back? How many's coming back? What's the percentage? Every preacher wants to know, what's the percentage you come? I'm telling all of them, 110. I said, what percentage do you have? We have 110%. Then I watch them kind of droop and fall. And I said, okay, I'll repent now. But it's not in the numbers. It's not about numbers. We've been in the numbers game too long. We need to begin to trust the God of heaven. Now, it doesn't mean you don't count. We're going to count the offering. We'll count this crowd. Matter of fact, there's a whole book in this book named Numbers. Doesn't mean it. But if you begin to trust the numbers of people rather than the magnificence of God, you get in trouble. Just read the book. Retain the scriptures, Timothy. Secondly, he said, I will retain the scriptures. Yes, guard the gospel. Look at it right here in our text. The very next verse, in verse 14, he says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. The treasure is the gospel. It's the good news. It's the euangelion. It's that news that has come from heaven that says, God loves the world, all men have sinned, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We must guard the gospel, treasure it. The Christ that is in you, the Holy Spirit that is in you, the treasure is the gospel, and you must believe it, you must share it. Now hear me, church, we must guard the gospel because there is a world out there saying, oh, Jesus is a good way, but he's not the only way to heaven. Their church is right here in this city this morning that will preach that. They will say Christ is a good way, but not the only way. Dear friend, I wouldn't walk in their shoes for their socks when they get to judgment. I'm here to tell you, it's a narrow way, it's the only way, it's the Jesus way. That's the gospel. God loves you enough to send you. You say, well, I just do, if I live good enough, friend, that's the biggest lie the devil ever tell you. Just live good enough, you'll go to heaven. You live good enough, you'll go to hell. Jesus said, I'm the way. He said, he's the door. He said, there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. You got to choose you this day which way you'll walk. And church, we must guard the gospel. Always lifting up the gospel. The good news of the Lord. It's a treasure that he's given us. We dare not bury it. We must share it. We must give it, believe it, and yes, guard it. Timothy, don't back up. Retain the scriptures. Timothy, guard the gospel. But number three, he says, Timothy, honor the saints. Honor the saints. Don't ever forget the good people of God. Look at it right here in the text in verse 15. He says, Timothy, you're aware of the fact that all that are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phrygilus and Hermogenes. We really don't know too much about these two birds that are mentioned right here. It's the only time they're mentioned in Scripture. You can find them in the Apocrypha, and you learn a little bit more about them. But the one thing we do know is that they were in the church, the Asian church somewhere, but when persecution came, they turned and ran. When it got hot, they quit. It doesn't have to get very difficult in the church for a lot of people to quit. Just let it get a little controversial. They say, I'm out of here. I mean, some people only come to sell insurance anyway. Just who they can get to know and share their product, be it insurance or a thousand other things. Some just come for contacts. I get to know that guy, he'll buy from me. You get a little difficult, they hit the road. Oh, but there are the saints of God. Onesiphorus. Everybody say that name together with me. Here we go right now. Onesiphorus. I keep thinking we ought to put that on the back of some football player's jersey. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Onesiphorus coming out of here. The bringer of profit. That's what his name means. He's bringing good things. Listen to what Paul said about his friend. Verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Onesiphorus, thank God for the saints that bless your soul. Four things he says about Onesiphorus. Number one, he was refreshing. He was refreshing. Notice it right here in the text, verse 16. For he often refreshed. Anasuko is the word. Anasuko. It literally is translated to recover from heat, to cool from the heat. If you ever been in a difficult place, I mean it, we always say when it gets hot in the kitchen, standing for Christ and it's getting hot, and someone comes like a refreshment unto you. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul spoke of Stephanus, Fortunatus, of Achaicus. All of them were shown to be, as verse 18 says, they refreshed my spirit and yours. Onesiphorus was not the only one. There were other saints that refreshed. You ever been in a hard place and just have somebody come and refresh your spirit? It's like a like a cool breeze. It's like a Saturday afternoon in November in the panhandle. Sally's gone, Ada's gone, and the cool breezes are beginning to blow down from the Rocky Mountains and across the plains, and they call it a cold front. So refreshing. It gets just cool enough that the mosquitoes don't even show up. Amen. You can sit outside. You don't even have to be in the screened-in porch. I mean, you can sit out on just under the moonshine. When you're in a hard place, often God will send a saint of God named Onesiphorus, and he will refresh your soul. Some of you need refreshing today, but others of you need to be a refreshment. Say, how'd I do it, preacher? You see somebody's got a need, you go bless them. Sometimes it's a card, sometimes a phone call, sometimes a visit, sometimes a hug. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's standing with them when everybody else leaves them alone. Onesiphorus, he was refreshing. But he was also courageous. Verse 16 goes on to say, he was not ashamed of my chains.
Sometimes you get in a mess. People are running from you. They flee from you, but not Onesiphorus. He stays. He shows courage. In the middle of the flame, he stands. That's a friend you need. You don't need somebody turning their back on you just because you got in a little heat because of the gospel. You need Onesiphorus to be courageous enough to stand alongside. If he was refreshing, he was courageous, he was persistent. Notice verse 17, when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and he found me. Don't give up. Sometimes being a refreshment, you got to stay after it. I know this happens to me sometimes. It's my day to go to the hospital, make the visit, and I don't want to. So I go over to West Florida, and they say they're in 241, and I go to 241. I'm looking for Joe Jones. And Sally Smith is in there. And I think, praise the Lord. He's not here. I can go home. I just head back down one flight. I'm headed to my car. And the Spirit of God says, you know, you could ask. They may have just moved them to a different room. I said, oh, no, Lord, they gone home, I'm sure. I don't want to be here anyway. And I did it. I mean, I went to the room. I looked in. I was looking for Joe, found Sally, and, you know, that's not right. But if you just persist a little bit, you might find them. You tell you, being a refresher is not always done on the first step. Sometimes you've got to stay by the stuff. And that's what Onesiphorus did. He came to Rome and he searched for me and found me. Can you see him? He's going to every jail in town. Rome's a big place. You've never been there. He gets down and says, oh yeah, we got the apostle. He's down here in 541. Cell block C. He goes down, finally finds him. There's old Paul chained to the praetorian, one of the guard. Onesiphorus says, can we visit? He was not ashamed of the chain. And he looked and he looked and he looked till he found him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, sometimes you'll never be a refreshment on the first try. You got to stay after. He was refreshing, he was courageous, he was persistent, and he was serving. Now look at this. In verse 18, may the Lord grant Onesiphorus to find mercy from the Lord on that day, that's judgment day. And you know very well what diakoneo he rendered at Ephesus. That diakoneo is our word deacon. Here he gave services. He served. He served the church. That's how I refreshed. He served the whole church. On December 6th, we're going to elect 20 more deacons. We got 20 rolling off at the end of the year, and we'll roll 20 more on like we do every year. That election will be hell. Hey, just a byword, we're going to do it. Man, we're getting really high tech. We're going to do it online this year. You can use your phone during church to vote, and we'll show you how to do that. It's the only thing you can use your phone for during church. I know some of you have your Bible on there and take notes and lie and send texts, but I know. But on December 6th, you be praying. We'll put that list out there online now. You can find them at the website, olivebaptist.org, and you can see the men that have been nominated and are ready to serve if elected. Hey, I want to say a word to you. Friend, you don't have to be elected and have some certificate to serve. No. Some of you never be on the deacon group. That's fine. There are a lot of people who do more service than all the deacons. But you serve. Men, women, boys, girls. We do need those to serve because we need that. But we're all supposed to be diakoneo. All the service that Onesiphorus rendered. It's plural, services. As I preached through this to myself, I began to wonder, my mind rolling. And I just started thinking of the refreshers God's put in my life. First church, I wasn't married halfway through it, and then Liz and I got married. New Lebanon Baptist Church, 44 in Sunday school, first Sunday I was there. Highest attendance we ever had was high attendance day, 125. We had one Sunday. Ralph Martin, my Lord. What a refresher he was to this preacher. He and his wife couldn't have children. Just as we were leaving, we'd had a revival, had a preaching about faith. They wanted children so bad. Today, their daughter is married to the minister of music at the First Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. She's one of the sweetest girls, just like her mama. Oh, he refreshed my soul. Ralph, big giant of a man. Now, seminary, then the First Baptist Church of Henrietta, Texas. A lot of them watch online. I'd not dare speak about any of them that are alive for fear they'd swell up. But God gave me Vic. For 7 years, I pastored that church. I'd get paid every Friday. We paid every Friday there, not this every other week stuff. You got paid every Friday. If you worked a week, you got your check. It's when they really wrote you a check. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's a piece of paper that they fill that out, and they've got your name on it and everything. I'd leave the First Baptist Church, and I'd walk all the way around the square where the courthouse was and then down to the bank, and I'd always stop at John's Dry Goods Store. I have seminary class in the back with Vic Marchman. I often said that I learned more in that back office. Man, he's just big enough for two chairs. Vic had been a deacon for 40 years. We'd talk about the things of God. We'd pray. And oh, how that man refreshed my soul those many years. From there to Garland. Oh, God gave me so many refreshers. It was a short ministry, less than 3 years. Ron and Liz Taylor, many, many, many others. She was my secretary. It was confusing. Her name was Liz Taylor. My wife was Liz Traylor. You could kind of get in trouble. Daytime Liz, nighttime Liz, I called them. I still get notes from her in the mail signed Daytime Liz. Oh, they refreshed my soul. I came here. I tried to say it last week. Thank you, by the way, for a couple of weeks ago. And we've spent 30 years together. And as I often tell people, it's 29 of the happiest years of my life. There was 1997. Very difficult hour. Difficult time. I have hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of refreshing people in this congregation to me personally. But God gave me three in 1997 like no others, and you've heard me share the story. How they got up early one morning, drove to my hometown in Pisgah, 370 miles, got a quart fruit jar full of water, brought it back to me that night, and 8 o'clock at night met me at the front door of my house or to mailbox and said, Pastor, we brought you a drink of water. I said, what? You guys are crazy. What are you talking about? He said, well, 2 Samuel 23, where those three water fetchers went and got David a drink from his well in Bethlehem. So we've done that for you. And said, we went out. Your daddy told us where you used to lie down on a big rock and pray out there on the gorge, on the bluff. Pisgah means a high rocky ridge, and I'd lie down there, and you could see the Tennessee River running out of Tennessee and coming down through North Alabama as it does. They said, we broke off two pieces of those rock. If you come to my house, you'll find those two rocks right by my door, my office at home, given to me, 1997. They said, Pastor, if you stay on those on the rock where God called you, he'll be your sure foundation, your cornerstone. Oh, they refresh my soul. I've never shared who those guys are because they're unnamed in Scripture, and I've told them I'd never breathe their name. I've had many people ask me who they are. I said, I never share their name till they die. One of them was Dennis Wilson. I've done his funeral. I shared that story at his funeral. The other two, I never whisper their name. I asked him one time, I said, which one of you three knuckleheads came up with this crazy idea of driving all the way up there and driving back? I said, why don't you just go get some water somewhere and bring it? They said, well, if we'd have done that, you wouldn't have a sermon to preach. And let me tell you, people have been refreshed by that story. I preached it Thursday night in Mobile, Alabama. Where's Tim Hunter? We did it, didn't we, Tim? Preached it over there Thursday night. And a man sat on the front row and wept like a baby. Man older than me, leaning over, crying, oh, God. Those three men refreshed me and refreshed him. Have you ever been refreshed? The real question this morning is, have you ever refreshed anyone? Is what the church needs today. Onesiphoruses. That plural's hard. Spit all over the front row with that. Now go back to verse 13. This is the sermon. All that was introduction. Here's the sermon. I want you to see it. In that 13th verse, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, comma, in the, what's that word? Faith and, what's that word? Love, which are in Christ Jesus. Faith and love, say those two words. Now say them out loud. Young people, you've been on retreat, high schoolers, say them for me. Y'all didn't go to sleep last night, did you? Yeah. Faith and love, won't you see these two words? This is the way you refresh, through faith and love. Now watch this. Here it is. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Everybody raise your right hand. That's your faith hand. Say it. Faith. Raise your left hand. Say it. Love. You got to go by faith. Showing love, and that's how you reach out to refresh others. Now, here's the way it works. Faith, God speaks to you about what your action's supposed to be. You walk and live not by works or the words of others. This is not what your mother tells you to do. This is not what your wife tells you to do. This is what your God tells you to do. And He says to you, by faith, go love this person. So you get a word from God. Now let me tell you, if you're going to get a word from God, you're going to have to turn off the television. You're going to have to open the Word of God and get in a quiet place, and He'll speak into your soul. And when He speaks, you receive it by faith, and then you give it by love. And when you receive it by faith and give it by love, you put your arms around somebody and refresh. And your name becomes Onesiphorus. Oh, yes. You're persistent, courageous, serving, and refreshing. Anasuko, like a cool breeze on a hot day. Amen. Somebody's voting for deacon over here already. It ain't on yet, okay? It's refreshing. 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 Faith. God speak to me. Love. I show it. And when you do that, you put those two arms around somebody and you will refresh them. It may be a word you speak, a note you write, maybe a hand you shake or a fist you bump, maybe a hug you give, maybe a phone call you make, maybe a text you send. I got a text after the first service, and I shouted in the green room. Somebody was in the service, sent me a word. I said, man, I needed that. They encouraged me. I got to church early this morning. The lady at the front desk said, Pastor, somebody dropped this by for you. And I've been doing this a long time. I can tell nasty mail from good mail from the outside. ...99% of the time. And when I got that, I looked at it and I said, that's nasty mail. I said, I ought not read that before I go preach. I walked around, I came back in, it was still there. I said, I'm going to read it anyway, it may make me mean, and I'll be ready to go. I cut it open, looked in there, and there was a great big check made out to Olive Baptist Church. I took a lap around the office. I said, glory to God. That envelope refreshed me this morning. Amen. Maybe a check you write. I don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you God's called you to be a refresher. He's not called you to be the junior Holy Ghost in condemning everybody. God's called us to be the people of God. Refreshment. Onesiphorus. What a dude. Only time you find his name in the Bible. One time. Well, it's more times than I got mine in there. You too. What a good word to the Apostle Paul. Now, we're not done. We're not done, but I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. Everybody stand up. I don't run to the door. If you do, I'm going to call your name. If you got an emergency, I understand that. And getting in line at lunch is not an emergency. All right, raise your right hand. Right hand. Just say the word. Faith.
Faith.
Say it again.
Faith. Faith.
Leave that hand up. Put your other hand up like a Pentecostal.
Love.
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 Faith.
Faith.
Love.
Love.
Faith.
Faith.
Love.
Love.
Faith. Love.
Faith. Love.
Faith. Love.
Faith. Love.
Now, when you go out of here today, I want you to hear from heaven and let God speak by faith into your heart. And when he tells you what to do, you then go by faith and give love to somebody. And if God doesn't give you instruction, that means your heart's so hard you can't hear him. Go back to the altar. Because God wants to use you as a refreshment. For some of you, you don't have to even walk out of your house. Some of you hard-hearted men just need to say the first time to your wife in a long time, man, I enjoyed that lunch today. Thank you, darling. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go far. You may just need to hug a child. You may need to call one of your grown kids today and say, hey, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ben. One more game, you guys. I've been following you because your daddy's really swelled up proud of you. I sent an email to Coach Saban yesterday asking him to write you a letter. Don't shake that Tennessee head at me. God's got big things for that boy. He's got bigger things for Eli than he's got for Ben. He's going to be senator from Florida. He'd be president, but he can't be president because the law won't allow it. But thank God. Amen. It's that easy, is what I'm telling you. I didn't say that in the first service. I'm telling you, as I stood right here, I believe I heard the Spirit of God tell me to encourage those two boys standing right there. I don't know what God will tell you this week, but when He speaks right here, go right here. Amen. And you got to be all ears in your heart, and God will use you. Now, for some of you, He's speaking to you today, and He's saying, I love you, I want to save you, because you don't know Him. You're lost. The reason you hadn't heard Him, you're under conviction about your own life, and you need to come to Christ. When John sings this song, I'm going to be at this table. Some of our guys will be at the tables out in the foyer. They're called Next Step Table. You come make your next step. Some of you here need to join this church. Anybody here need to join the church today? Hand or two. Amen. Come see me right down here. Go to the Next Step Tables. You need to put your membership right here today. It's the day the Lord's made. It's the day He's calling. And He speaks to you. And when He speaks, you go. Amen. Take action. I'm going to pray. John's going to sing. We'll be dismissed. Our invitation is after the service today. Just come right down here. I called a few prospects yesterday. I called a guy a week ago. He was at work. He said, Pastor Boy, we really enjoyed church. He said, pray for me. I'm out here on the route and I'm lost. I'm trying to get this delivery done. I said, well, you'll get there. I'll pray for you. If you get in a real mess, text me back, and I'll Google it for you and find it, and we'll get there. He said, well, I got a phone. I said, well, amen. He's so encouraged. He said, we're coming to join the church. We're going to come be a part. So we can't come every Sunday because I have to work a lot, but we're going to be a part of the family. If God's called you to be a part of the family today, you come. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way. God, this week, speak to my heart. Tell me what to do. And Lord, I pledge by faith as best I know, if you'll give me grace and strength, I'll do it. Not in my own flesh, but in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me share the gospel, give the gospel, live the gospel. Add to the church today. Change us as we walk by faith and display love like a Onesiphorus. Send refreshment, I pray, in Jesus' name. John singing, you're encouraging one another. Spirit of God's calling you, you come. You come. You come. As you're dismissed, you come right here to this table. Go to those tables out there. And we'll see you next time we gather at a place called Olive. God love you. Amen and amen.